This episode is brought to you by the Slash and Cast Podcast Network. Learn more at slashandcast.net.
Yeah, you cut me too deep. I think I'm dying here, man.
Welcome to the 3B Video Deep Cut Podcast.
Watch a few movies, take a few notes.
It was fun.
Aw, yeah. It's that time again for another bi-weekly podcast with your hosts, Rotten Roger DeMarco and...
Evil, and look at the size of those hematomas.
A Brad Hominick-sized hematoma.
Hominick.
Oh, Jesus.
So what Halloween movie are we doing today?
No, we're done.
Oh, we're finally done? God damn, that took a long time.
Thank Christ. That literally took half of a year, it feels like.
It probably took longer, but I mean...
I got old while we covered Halloween.
I've aged a lot since talking Halloween.
I've become a grumpy old man, so we decided...
Now we're grumpier old men.
Yes. Rest in peace, Burgess Meredith. And everybody else.
That should be a month we do. We just cover that and then the sequel, Grumpier Old Men.
I do love both of those movies.
I do too, but man, that's when you can tell we've ran out of franchises. Like, you want to do the Grumpy Old Men? That'll get us at least a couple of weeks.
Someone will listen to it. But no, we're done with our trek in Haddonfield, and we decided long overdue that we would cover the Maniac Cop trilogy. So here we are, ready to get into some Officer Cordell business.
That's not till the sequel. He's still scary as shit in this movie. he becomes Freddy Krueger part four on when we get to the sequel and part three. But here it's Nightmare One level, like. He's a scary son of a bitch.
He's a scary dude, but can I, like, I think this might be the general consensus with this trilogy. This is my least favorite Maniac Cop movie.
Really? Like,
I like this movie a lot.
How dare you?
But, like, if I'm gonna watch Maniac Cop, it's always two or three. Like, I'm never like, man, Maniac Cop 1 sounds fun right now. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I really like it, but
I mean,
I just feel like 2 and 3 are better.
It's not fun per se, but it is really, really, like, it's a slasher movie. But yeah, when you get to 2 and 3, you're getting more of that. Well, it's a fun slasher.
Yeah.
A more fun slasher movie, but what's your, curiously, your first impressions, encounters with said Maniac Cop?
Well, I actually saw the first one last, so.
Just like Freddy's Dead, they saved the best for last for you. And it was the first.
I don't know. No. I don't know. By the time I got to Maniac Cop 1, I was a little confused that this.
So, which one did you start with? Three?
Three, yeah.
That's absolutely okay. True. That solves a lot of my head scratching
conundrum. Yeah.
Yes, about this trilogy, because spoiler ahead of time, we get to three. Roger is all about Maniac Cop 3,
and
it took me forever to get to that one. So I was not in the Maniac Cop fan train by the time I finally got to it. I actually started in order with Maniac Cop and Maniac Cop 2. This came in my possession from. My sister was dating a guy at the time who had a habit of, it made no sense to me then, but he used to just buy the movies that came with the slipcovers. Yes. And when he would make tapes, it would be a movie on the tape. So it was a dubbed VHS tape, but it just said Maniac Cop real big across the whole label strip.
Yeah.
And I first thought, I was like, man, he could have put two other movies on this motherfucker. Why is he wasting it just on one movie?
You run it in SP. It's better quality, dude.
I guess, but at the time, I was just like, man, we put three movies on a tape around in this house. This house, motherfucker, what are you doing with one movie?
We don't waste all that extra tape.
Yeah, I was like, you're going to have to buy more tapes for more movies. But had these two flicks. I don't know if he either gave them to me or loaned them to me, but they ended up just becoming mine.
I think that's how it works.
Yeah, it was just like, well, you like these. I like, quit borrowing them. And you know, you can just have them. He wasn't that committed to keeping the Maniac Cop movies. But I started with the very first one and went to two, and that was the only ones I had had in my repertoire for a long time.
Gotcha.
And I was, I would say, see, I probably, I saw this.
10?
Around 90, definitely 93 to 94.
Yeah.
So yeah, 10, 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely before 12, I was exposed to the Maniac Cop.
That's a perfect age too, because like it feels like a movie you should not be allowed to see, right? Like, it's a dangerous movie. That's what's so good about this movie. First of all,
that's old man me coming in right there. If like my 12-year-old's like, I'm gonna watch Maniac Cop, I'm like, by yourself?
Well, we had different parents, you know what I mean?
We do, but it's like, it's weird to be in that place now. I'm like, whoa, it is 9:30 in the morning. What do you mean you're watching Maniac Cop?
That sounds like the perfect start to the day, man. That's how you start Christmas vacation.
Yeah, that's fine for us, but I'm now officially in that place. I'm like, is that cool? Why do I feel like that can't be cool? It's cool, but it's like...
I promise it's cool.
Okay.
But yeah, so going back to the kind of like the tone and just the overall presentation of this movie. First of all, Larry Cohen. Second of all...
Genius.
Bill Lustig.
Gorilla filmmaking master.
Oh my God. And like, this movie is so fucking dope, right? Because it's like... It has its social commentary, but like,
that's still relevant today.
Yeah, but you can be a 9 or a 10 or an 11-year-old kid and watch this, and like, some of those themes might be lost on you, but like, it's so violent and fun that like, it kind of resonates with everybody. Like, this is a good like anybody movie, I feel.
And it kind of grabs you by the throat and gets going from Jump Street. It's you know, on paper, it doesn't sound like anything worthwhile. And I think they filmed it just so they could do it to not have audio interference, because I believe they had trouble because they were filming this guerrilla style with like the Union.
Yeah.
But the opening of this movie is just Cordell in close up and freeze frames of him putting on his uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we've said it at the past franchises that we've covered here, the big three that we've covered, it all kind of hinges on like, well, is it a cool name? Mm-hmm. Does it have a theme?
Mm-hmm.
And the theme for Maniac Cop is bone chilling.
Yeah, it's real good.
Well, that's the Saviors from The Walking Dead, but it's the theme of Maniac Cop is super bone chilling. Like, even at that age when I saw it, like, I was terrified just watching this dude put on a uniform.
Mm-hmm. Which also lends to the other thing you and I are really big on is your killer's look/silhouette. And yep. It doesn't get much more imposing than Matt Cordell. Like, Robert Zadar is a big, big dude. But first of all, like, the silhouette, it's like a double meaning, right? Because, like, you see a cop silhouette, like, there is I should be safe. But then the closer you get to it, the worse off you are. Like, so many people run to the Maniac Cop for help and get slaughtered. Like,
oh, they play it so perfectly. In the first kill, a woman is running up to the Maniac Cop and... there he is, just standing in silhouette uniform. You're like, oh, she's going to be safe from these muggers.
Yeah.
she's in the clear. And then, you know, she gets a look at his face, which we don't see. They do a brilliant job of keeping this dude in shadow 90% of the movie, just like Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yep.
And it's like, it just, you feel the tonal shift in her character as she's like, you're not normal.
Right. And I think... That's the other thing too, is keeping him in shadow, especially since like his makeup isn't overly extensive in this movie. He's not like completely rotten. He's just damaged.
Just damaged. So, but because they keep it in the silhouette mm-hmm. and shadow for so long, whatever the fuck they show us at the end, we're gonna be like, oh, good yeah. fucking God.
Christ almighty, yeah.
And yeah, it's not a whole lot. Like, it's not too bad. Like, looking at it, you know, now I'm like, man, he should have been just fine. Like, yeah. Why did this almost kill him?
Sidebar, I don't know how you feel about it, but every time they reuse the footage throughout the franchise, when they show him getting killed in the shower.
Oh, the back in the day story, the origins yeah. of said maniac cop.
Yeah, when he gets killed. Ever since I was a kid, even I'm like, that looks like Mickey Rourke. I don't know why. Robert Zadar.
Two people I would never
confuse.
Yeah, no way.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I always like. Well, they got kind of big brick heads, you know.
Well, Bruce Campbell, who is in this movie, affectionately known as the Chin, has to take a back seat to the original, hardcore the Chin, and that is Zadar. He should have that award ahead. Like, it should be honorarily Bruce Campbell.
Yeah. We skipped over it. We're 11 minutes in, but Evil, do you want to give the good folks out there in internet land a brief plot synopsis of this film, and then we'll just keep going back into where we were? Yeah.
It's a simple revenge story of a cop just trying to clear his name and expose the wrongdoings in the police force.
Yeah, he's got to come back from the dead to do it.
But he's not dead in this one.
It's like he is, but he's not like...
He's, it's as weird. The mortician says, or the, not mortician, what would you, the penitentiary doctor, coroner,
yeah,
multitasker dude, he suffered severe brain damage. I was pretty sure he was clinically dead.
Yeah.
So mostly dead.
Mostly dead.
But not dead. He's portrayed as being still alive, just... He's just a little fucked up.
But for some reason, he's wicked, wicked, wicked fucking strong.
I mean, take a bump on your head, that shit happens. You wake up with superpowers. You get sliced up in the shower with a couple of shivs, and yeah, all of a sudden, you're super stronger.
That's right. You get bit by a radioactive spider in the streets of
New
York.
Open up a comic book, man. Things happen.
That's goddamn right. So, I mean, we can't talk about how awesome this movie is without, like, the cast, right? So,
oh shit,
first of
it's
all,
like it's B movie like central of all the top B. It's like the Expendables of B movie guys.
It is. It's awesome. And so, first of all, title character Robert Zadar, one of the most awesome character actors you'll ever see. Very distinct. I mean, you nailed it when you said like he's the OG Chin. But he's a sweet guy. If you ever get the chance to watch any of the Maniac Cop documentaries or anything, I mean, gone far too soon, but like a wonderful, wonderful dude. And it's always the nice guys, right? Like, it's always the nicest actors in the world who can be the scariest people on camera.
Exactly. 100%. Oh, yeah, yeah. Go on to our next. Yeah, go on to the next superstar.
Now, first, Bruce Campbell. So we have Bruce as... our lead, technically.
He's our conflicted hero of the movie. And total spoiler, I saw this movie definitely after I'd watched the Evil Dead movies. But when you're young, you're totally stupid. And this movie and They Live were two movies that I saw, liked the actor, and totally until years later, after rewatching, I'm like, oh shit, that is Bruce. That's Bruce Campbell. I've known that, but why didn't I know that? And same with They Live. I'm like, shit, that's Roddy Piper.
Roddy Piper.
Yeah, I was like, those are really cool actors. Who are they? No shit. I watched that all the time. I didn't put that together. Ugh, kids.
Yeah. The joys of being a child and then like starting to, this is pre-internet, folks. We've talked about this. You know, like starting to kind of piece together people's filmographies.
Yeah.
But you had to do that on your own, with your own fucking brain. You had
filmographies
to be like,
were word of mouth back in those days.
You had to be like, I like Jackie Chan because of this and this and this, and there he is in the background or whatever.
Yeah,
but like,
there were no such thing as gatekeepers in the 90s because you couldn't research all this shit to look up the obscure facts and odd movies. So you could be like, well, that's cool, but have you seen this?
Yeah, no.
It actually, maybe that's what bred gatekeepers today is old folks. Like, I actually did like this back then, and I had to do all the hard labor to find it.
I liked it before it was cool, you sons of bitches. But we also get, every time I watch this movie, I forget that Tom Atkins is not our lead. Like, that's a really hard pill to swallow for me, because Tom Atkins...
That was still, when I watched it the first time, and even to this day...
Yeah, to this day.
Watching it, that is such a... That's the biggest swerve, bro, I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, maybe, they gotcha.
Maybe in a movie, is because, man, you set up. You get so much backstory and so much, like... Everything to tell you that, okay, we're following Frank McRae. He is our guy. That
he's
is
a
your
badass.
Badass. He's going to have a redemption because he was suicidal at one point. He is our hero. We are set. He is our hero.
Tom Atkins is a suicidal badass cop. I think I've heard this somewhere.
I think he's played this in every movie outside of Lethal Weapon.
I think so, too. And then also... wonderful character actress, Laureen Landon in this movie. Like, this movie just oozes with awesome character actors. And the great thing is, like, if you didn't come up, if you didn't grow up with these movies, like, you watch the movie for the first time and you're like, ah, character actor, character actor, character actor. But if you grew up with it like we did, like, these people were just actors, and then they became these fucking, you know what I mean? Like, so, like...
Yeah, which we can't leave out. He's in the top there. Fucking Richard Roundtree, Shaft himself.
Yep.
Is one of the... Yeah. Is like a police commissioner in this, so...
Yep.
Yeah, it's, like I said, this is the Expendables of B-movies before that was a thing.
Yeah, well, I mean... Larry Cohen and Bill Lustig knew what the fuck they were doing. This movie has a very clear vision and a very clear mission. I know, like I said, I praise 3. 3 had a lot of cooks in the kitchen. There's a lot of problems with 3, but I still love 3. But this movie knew what it was from Jump Street, and it delivers across the board.
Yeah, this is coming off... because they made Maniac, and they're like, we should just, you know, do something else. And I guess, kind of like Friday the 13th, they had the title. They're like, Maniac Cop, and the tagline of, you have the right to remain silent forever. And I'm like, that's good
so
enough.
Good. It's so good. I would give you all of my money to make that movie. If you...
That's your Indiegogo, is we just have this in the tagline.
Yeah, and a poster. If you have a poster.
yeah.
Here's all of my money.
That's exactly what they do in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. They make up the fake crime-fighting movie with Dolph Lundgren, and he just has an oversized nose, and he can smell crime.
Oh, Jesus.
They're like, we ain't going to make no shit. We just made a poster, a movie, title, and a tagline, and that's what they did for this. But this is the time frame where that shit kind of worked so much. I think they used that tagline for part two as well. They're like, just recycle that shit. Do it again. You have the right to remain silent forever and ever. And ever and ever and ever.
But that is like, that is 100% the business model that Larry Cohen kind of figured out. Him and Roger Corman, I think, are the two guys that kind of figured it out before everybody else. Like, there were indie horror people that were kind of playing catch up, and they were learning from guys like even Charles Band, you know, the kind of guys who would create a poster, take it to a producer and say, this is, you know, we've got a script, and they don't even have page one. They don't even have a fucking cover page with a title. this is our movie. We've got a script. We've got such and such actors in mind, and then get the money. all off of some fucking, like, harebrained, you know, they're, like, sitting around smoking weed. You know, they go out to lunch, and they're like, what about a cop that's a maniac? You know what I mean? And they're like, fuck yeah, dude. Like, and then it worked.
Remember when we made Maniac? What if dude had a badge?
Yeah. The fucking 80s, dude. The 80s kicked now, so much ass.
I can't speak for Band and who else do you say there? It's in the top three. Charles Band and Corman.
You got, like, Corman, and then
I can't speak for them. You probably can more because you're super educated in their work. But talking when we had the chance to with Larry Cohen,
he's
the guy that just has always and did always have the I just don't give a fuck attitude. Mm-hmm. Like in Cue the Winged Serpent, they're just not supposed to, but they're just firing automatic weapons
off that fucking
off the top of a skyscraper. They're not supposed to be doing that shit. Same thing here. Like, they just started with getting gorilla shots of a parade. Yep. And, like, I guess that shot of, like, the cop drinking and getting busted by his captain is real. Like, that's real cops. So they're like, we'll figure out how to put this shit in the movie later. But, like, just go out there and film stuff.
Yeah, I think that was the first stuff they shot, right? Like, they...
Yeah, that's the first thing. And they're like, they're going to work that into the movie somehow. Like, that wasn't part of the... Like, oh, and we'll have this in there. They're like, just do this, and we'll figure it out. Same with the chopper shots.
Yeah.
Of I believe it was Sing Sing. Or it's like, I think they had a thing with the warden of, like, if you come within 500 yards or whatever, we'll shoot you down. So keep a distance, but film
501 yards.
Yeah. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you.
Yeah, I'm using a long telephoto lens to get my fucking aerial shot.
Like, doing all these things, it's like, you can't do that. And he's like, I did it.
I'm going to, you know? And that's,
yeah. Just playing, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. And just playing that, you just commit to that. Oh, well, I'm sorry.
I didn't know I could do that. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I didn't know I couldn't do that.
That was good, wasn't it? Because I didn't know. I couldn't. Yeah, that's Larry Cohen in a fucking nutshell.
Yes, 100%.
Just eking by, doing whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted, and turning a profit. Like,
oh yeah, apparently this was a super, like, successful turnaround for its super limited theatrical release.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, this crushed it, which immediately led to them being like, well, we could do a sequel, you know? Like,
Yeah, as soon as something turns that kind of money, like, shit, do another one there. We ain't got to even promote it. It's already out there. Like, we just tell them there's a part two. They're like, I'm in.
Yeah, absolutely. And, oh, my God. So, going back to Bruce Campbell in this movie, this is where, see, I think this might be.
Because he comes in late. Like, there's the other thing that it throws you the fuck off, because you're following McRae.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, he's going to solve this shit out. And then all, like, 20-something minutes in, we're like...
We switch leading men, yeah.
Yeah. And they play it off like, what's the, like, this troubled couple? Someone is calling them off, like, giving them some weird, like, have you checked on the children type phone calls?
Yes.
He left again, didn't he? He's out there doing it. He's killing. And you're next. And ends up getting framed for his estranged wife's murder because he got busted by her just straight up cheating in the hotel room.
Yep, and they assume he's the maniac cop. So I think,
I mean, he does not do a good job of trying to defend his actions when he's confronted. Like,
oh, he's in bed with her, Lorraine Landon or whatever. Yeah,
no, like when he's confronted, like, by his superior, like in class, or like. When was the last time you saw your wife? Well, you know, we kind of had a fight. She kind of caught me. Like, well, did you try to stop her? Like, she had a gun. And, like, even dude's like, you should probably stop talking right now.
Yeah. Shush. Shush. But I think that might be my biggest issue with this movie. And again, like, I love this movie, even if it's my least favorite of the Maniac Cop trilogy. Like, that's not saying much because they're all fucking rad. But, like, I think for, like, my young sensibilities, like, as, like, when I watched this when I was a kid, there might have been too much plot in the way of the violence. Does that make like sense? Like it felt like
to,
a little
to a degree, but I mean, it's again, I saw this way too young, and if that got in the way, it didn't get in the way for me then. So
right.
And with my, yeah, my short attention span mind at the time, like, that's got to say something if that still held me.
If it worked on you, yeah.
Yeah, it works on me. It should be like that, yeah, like that weight loss program. If it worked on me, it could work on anybody.
I just think, like, that to me is the biggest, like, dragging point. And that's not necessarily even a negative, because we want to know these people. We want to like these people. We want to know the struggles of these people. So when people die, it sucks.
I really think that because they hit us with that swerve where McCray dies, mm-hmm. it structures it like a two-act thing.
Yeah.
And that may be why I kept my interest then is... I'm following it, and if it just kept on that path, maybe it wouldn't have. Maybe I would have had some spots where I just kind of tuned out a little bit and didn't remember shit. But because I was so like, well, he's not dead yet. He's just bashing him against a shitload of filing cabinets.
And then throws him.
And then as he's getting thrown out the window, straight up like Undertaker just got beat at WrestleMania look on my face like, well, who's going to finish the movie now?
You can't take out fucking Tom Atkins like that.
Yeah, Atkins doesn't die.
Yeah,
and then he does.
Gets yeeted out the fucking window.
And then we gotta just like, okay, I guess we're gonna follow this guy. And what's his first move? To go back to a penitentiary? Like, the fuck? This guy's nuts. He's crazier than a maniac. He's on the hook for murder and murdering potentially on the hook for murdering a shitload of cops. And his first thing he does is go back to a jail to question a guy about Cordell.
Mm-hmm. And we also got to talk about some of the really cool stuff that gets explored in this movie. Is the fact that, like, the city goes into a panic, right? Like, well, you can't trust cops, which is very...
Never not topical.
Yeah, very fucking spot on.
You ain't gonna get me.
Oh, that's exactly what I'm referring to. Yeah, you ain't gonna get me. The lady gets pulled over.
I love the Roundtree's, like, thought he was the goddamn maniac.
My favorite part about that is when they do the slow motion shot of the dude getting shot. They don't even bother to try and edit around the fact that he has that squib wire fucking just hanging out his pant leg. Like, it's just there.
The trajectory doesn't make sense because if you're watching, like, he gets shot and you're like, the, like, poof is on the top of his hat.
Mm-hmm.
And then you zoom in on his corpse laying on the ground and he's shot on the forehead. So that shit went straight and then up.
Yep, yeah, that's the magic bullet.
Yeah, got to the middle of the brainstem and decided to go vertical out.
Mm-hmm. Where do we go? We go up.
We go up.
now dig up, stupids. Yeah, I love that aspect of the movie.
Seeing the wires and seeing it gives it that, like, which goes one of two ways. Either like, well, this is cheap and no one gave a fuck, or like, no, these guys gave a fuck, but they just didn't have the money to do this.
Yeah.
Really, really, like, super well. Like, it's the effort put in.
Yeah. Wait till the second one and the third one. Like, these movies just get bigger and bigger. Even, like, okay, so Maniac Cop 2 had a much bigger budget. Maniac Cop 3 had a smaller budget, but they still managed to do very big things. And, I don't know. What would you say is the biggest set piece or the biggest action sequence in the first Maniac Cop? Is it the finale?
I mean, it would have to be. It's the most action-centric scene. Like, I would say we have, in both movies, we have police station raids. But this one, we're just seeing the aftermath of it. It's just people finding corpses all over town, which is great when you find the two cops alive. And Bruce Campbell's like, look, I didn't do this. Lay down. I didn't do this. And the discussion after he leaves, like, you heard him. He didn't do it.
Phone doesn't just ring at a police station. No way. No how.
No. And when we get into our next installment, we will get the point of view of that happening in real time.
So good.
But yeah, the action sequence takes off when he Cordell fire axes the back of that paddy wagon open.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have this scene where he's driving off, which he drives super like, there's where I think the brain damage comes in, because Cordell drives really fucking weird. Like, he's trying to do a getaway drive, and he's driving with, like, with his left hand, unlike the, like, on if you're on the wheel of time on a steering wheel, like, 7 o'clock.
Right.
And his other hand in his lap. Like, very super casual cop driving. While, at the same time, Bruce Campbell is just beating the shit out of him out of the driver's side window. He, like, yeah, punches him and goes back to, like, trying to be back at 7 o'clock and chill.
Yep.
And we get that paddy wagon smashed with a pole and flying off the end of a pier, which, how many things have flown off the end of piers in movies? But this looks pretty wild, because you see the stunt guy fly off the side of the paddy wagon with it.
Every single time I watch that, I'm like, that stunt guy
he's
is so lucky to be alive. he flips underneath that fucking bread van or whatever the fuck that thing.
I call it the old paddy wagon.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, his head is level with it. It goes underneath it, so his feet are where his head was, and just turns enough, like, right before all of it smashes into the water.
Like, dude, so lucky. That is it's an awesome stunt, but it's like,
It's an awesome stunt, but it's so sketch. I think that's got to be a fucking mannequin or a dummy.
It's not.
The leg's kind of like, maybe they knew it was going to be this bad. Like, oh, Larry Cohen doesn't have a dummy on hand strapped to the side of a paddy wagon. Like, just put a stunt guy there.
It probably was just Bruce Campbell.
I did raid old Good Bad Flicks for intel, some behind the scenes intel before recording, and he was, of course, doing his stunt hanging off the side of the van.
Once they
did the actual pier stunt, that was a stunt man.
He was like, nah, I ain't doing that.
But apparently also, he does not like this movie. He considers it the low point of his career. And I've heard, like, when you bring this movie to him, he's like, oh, I was getting divorced at the time of this movie. Thanks for bringing that memory up.
Yeah, I was going to say, he went through a very nasty divorce during the filming of this movie. And so he despises it. And
I don't ever
want to be the guy who takes a Maniac Cop.
Which, yeah, the super bummer, because I thought that'd be cool to bring him when I did get the chance to have him autograph something. But after hearing that, I'm like, well, that immediately is out, because I don't want to be guy.
You take Maniac Cop 2, because he has the fucking little
cameo. Oh, my God. Talk about the one, like, dark, the black eye of part 2 is that. But
squandered.
That's all next week's, or 2 weeks' problem.
Yeah.
Today we're dealing with heroic Bruce Campbell, which, it's strange, even watching it for the first time. Like, I feel Matt Cordell could easily kill everyone in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
But it totally comes off as a regular Bruce Campbell versus the Evil Dead fight when he's battling with Cordell, especially when he gets knocked down and he's grabbed. The look on Bruce's face when he's grabbed, like, and thrown against the side of the paddy wagon, like, yeah, that's standard Bruce shit.
Oh, yeah, it's Three Stooges to the max.
Like, I don't feel the same level of fear from that point on. Until, you know, the hand comes up from underneath the pier, then it kind of gets back to it. But that's the only time the illusion is broken for me.
The slapstick,
of constant fear. And it's not really super, super splatstick or slapstick. It's just enough to be not quite the rest of the movie.
You know what I mean? Know exactly. Kinda, yeah, I know.
Kind of like Elm Street 2 of the pool party. Like,
yeah.
Still good, but just different, where it takes the fear a little bit out of it.
Yep. I know exactly what you're talking about. So it's like, if they had cut just a wee bit earlier, so you don't get the ham-fisted overacting, you know, it fucking solves the problem. But, yeah. But other than that, I'm with you, though. I do think that this is a very intense and pretty terrifying movie for, like, it's like the little movie that could, you know what I mean?
Oh, definitely. And you can, what's funny is that there's all these silhouette shots of Robert Zidane clearly not wearing any of the makeup. I think he was told he only has to wear that shit for those close-up scenes where he's got the fucked up teeth and the chin. It looks like he has like a fucking wishbone or some shit stuck under his cheek.
Big old gash on the side of his cheek.
Not the gash. Like if it totally looks like that dude in Beetlejuice who clearly died eating at a restaurant and has like a chicken bone in his neck. That shit looks like it's resting on the side of his cheek, like right under like the side of his nose. Like there's that big strip that looks like bone just sticking way the fuck out
like
there.
Like a T-bone.
Yeah. I was like, that's strange. That's what gives it the weird, super weird, like, look to it.
Mm-hmm.
I did want to ask you, though, one thing that I thought of, forgot, and remembered.
Okay.
We get some... I was like, I'm going to ask him this, because I he's totally probably has to be on my page. But we get when McCrae is doing some background research, learning about Cordell, we get the Chris Farley character from Wayne's World of like explaining that just knows everything and explains everything. And he's talking about how Cordell had a woman, a girlfriend, and then once all the bogus charges came up, she flipped out and tried to throw herself out a window and nearly crippled herself.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the Sally character that is using crutches?
Yeah,
later on?
100%.
Believe it is. Like, they never say it is, but I always assumed that was the case.
Yeah, and which also doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense of why he chokes the shit out of her and beats her up against the wall.
Well, it looks like she's backwards. Look like she's like, yeah, she's facing the wall. Like, he's trying to strangle. He's strangling her from behind.
just fucking slamming her into the wall 4,800 times.
Looks suggestive as hell when you're like, she's facing the same way he is. Why does that kill her?
Who knows? Maybe he slammed her face up against the wall real hard.
Sure.
Who knows?
Why not?
But yeah, you were talking about like the silhouette and everything, and I think that's another really, really like it's probably a budgetary restraint. Like it's probably because they didn't have $1 million worth of lights that they could use. But like the fact that this movie, it's not like so dark where it's like unintelligible. It's not Alien versus Predator Requiem. Like,
no, it's
rim lit really well.
Yeah. Like they knew what they were doing with how they did it.
And everything's wet too, which is fucking, like, that's my favorite thing. Everything being wet, the shadows being so prominent, like, there's a very unique, it's almost film noir look to this first movie.
Little bit. And just like, I know this came out in 88, but I mean, I feel like they really, and Robert Zidar really kind of channeled some early Fred Krueger things. Because he's, again, he's in silhouette, but he's really good at body language acting.
Yeah.
Like just how he would tap on that one dude's window and how he's standing with his back to the camera and does like the Stand By Me pose with that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And even how he's bashing McCrae up against the filing cabinets, how he throws him down. He has like almost like a gunslinger like stance after he throws him to the ground. Like, man, he's on point with his body acting, like just how he's using body language to still convey this character, which he's not using his face. So he's using like Kane Hodder, just using everything else to his advantage to showcase the character.
Yeah, and I will say this too about the maniac cop character. I think the best thing about Robert Zidar or just the Matt Cordell character is that it never deviates, right? All three films, the character never like becomes slapsticky, never goes off into a weird direction. Like, it's so consistent across the board, like compared to a Jason or a Freddy or even a Michael Myers or Leatherface. Like, I'm looking at you, part four. Like, there's a consistency with the Maniac Cop throughout all three films, and it's very satisfying.
Partially because they like reusing that telling of the tale footage over over and over again.
Oh yeah, well, and also the revisiting of the theme.
The theme with it. Also, even the lighting of that, because that's colored in like a very light blue.
Uh huh.
Tone favorite. To it. Yeah, and that does something too, because that whole backstory of the, which I always like the judge with his. Poltergeist looking pounding of the gavel.
It feels like a dream. It's very otherworldly.
Exactly what it is. And we feel bad for the character to a degree. Yeah. Like he's as mixed up as Bruce Campbell's character. And like he's not all bad, he's not all good. But I guess if you look at with the 3B video eyes on looking like, nah, it sounds like he was kind of a brutal cop. Yeah, like would beat the shit out of people. They literally say he's the shoot first, ask questions later guy, which is fantastic for every action movie involving cops. But in real life, you're like,
sounds like Mel Gibson, but in real life, he's
that's a terrible cop in real life. Like maybe we should get this guy off the street. He's killing people. Yeah, crime is down because he's killing them.
Yeah, sounds like Mel Gibson from Lethal Weapon. Turns out to be Mel Gibson from real life.
100%. That's the case here.
Oh, Jesus Christ. He deserves to be blown first, folks.
But it also comes as no surprise. My brown panty achievement clearly goes to Tom Atkins.
Is there anyone else?
I mean, I honestly tried to think of other people.
You give it to the lady with the crutches? No, to Tom Atkins.
It goes to Tom just because it's like it's still the most shocking death in the series of these movies,
almost in horror history. It's up there with like Gage. You know what I mean? It's like, really, you're gonna kill fucking Tom Atkins?
I put it over Gage because, if Gage doesn't die, the rest of that movie doesn't happen. I feel like if when you kill Tom Atkins, how does this movie continue?
Who's gonna drink the Coors Light, smoke the cigarettes, and fuck the ladies, man?
Exactly. And of course he has scenes where he's drinking beer in a bar in this movie, because why, you wouldn't have a movie with Tom Atkins without that.
Mm-hmm.
But if it wasn't planned that way, I would totally think like there was some mischievous shit behind the scenes, like, oh, they only had Tom Atkins for 2 days and he quit, so we had to kill him or something. So
we had to throw him out the window.
Yes. Well, we got this dummy we're going to use for the finale. Just throw that shit out the window. Say it was Tom Atkins' character. He left already. Like, it feels like it. Like, man, was this supposed to happen? Like in wrestling, when a dude gets injured all of a sudden, they have to write him off TV. You're like,
yep.
Was that shit supposed to go down that? What the hell's going on here?
Nope. Now they're flying by the seat of their pants, making a whole new storyline. Because Ahmed Johnson can't fucking wrestle.
Nothing sounds more official when you're flying by the seat of your pants than a plan B. And the whole second half of this movie feels like a plan B, but it works.
Yeah,
it totally
works.
Plan
B.
Yeah, sometimes that plan B is actually pretty spot on, accurate, fun.
Mm-hmm. So how do you rank that that window stunt? It's pretty good.
Of him just going out the window?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do a good job of hiding the face so you don't see.
So it could be Tom Atkins?
Yeah. But they don't go so far as to, like, put a fucking, like, silver wig on the dude. Like, it doesn't look like how we recently talked wigs in Hard Target on a live show. Like, very different. Like, this, they do a good job of, like, kind of like Cordelling his face. Like, we don't see it, and half the time it's covered by his hands falling.
Mm-hmm.
They just do a good ADR job of putting, which I wonder if that was really Tom Atkins, like, in somewhere just going,
like Tarzaning it, yeah.
They totally fucking kayfabe, and they're like, actually, Mr. Atkins, the bar is closed. Just smashing Miller Lights in front of him. Breaking cigarettes in half.
Yeah.
Like in The Exorcist, we get like strapping lady to a chair and having her drink, raw eggs and whiskey and shit. In this movie, they're just breaking fucking beer bottles and snapping cigarettes and have to get Tom Atkins to get
burning Hustler magazines.
You do what you got to do to your actors, even if it's unconventional, to get the results you want.
Goddamn right. Oh my God, I fucking love this movie, and I'm so glad we finally decided to get into the Maniac Cop trilogy.
So you're on the same boat, or you're giving Tom Atkins the coveted brown panty?
Oh yeah. That was never even a question. Like,
just making sure. Maybe you're in the same boat I was trying to think of a secondary person and not go obvious.
I don't give a fuck about anybody in this movie, like, as much as I care about Tom Atkins.
I mean, they're all kind of good. And we didn't even mention this because we have Bruce Campbell, and it's 1988. Out of fucking nowhere, Sam Raimi shows up for a miniature cameo in this movie.
Yup.
Like, what the fuck?
That's just how it is, man.
Yeah. Sam, you got an afternoon? You want to be a news reporter?
Yeah, shut up, buddy. Fucking, like, they're just...
Can I kick Bruce Campbell in the shin while I'm here? I'm in.
Yeah, they're just, they're a package deal, right? It's like, and then if you have Sam Raimi, well, the next time around, you got to have Ted Raimi. Like, you got to just bring
Which I'm kind of surprised Ted isn't tooling around somewhere. Like, I could easily see as one of those cops hanging by his neck in the office buildings. Like, just somewhere, something. Shit. Try that thing try that Candyman shit. Like, make him look like a tough guy. Make him one of the attackers of Matt Cordell in the shower.
Give me a movie where Ted Raimi is a tough guy.
Candyman.
Yeah.
He's wearing a leather jacket and
rides
the
a
babysitter.
Motorcycle.
Yeah, that's a bad motherfucker right there.
Yes.
Which, as good as this movie is at silhouetting Cordell's face to you don't see anything, equally as good a job of not seeing swinging, hanging dong.
Oh, God, yeah.
When Matt Cordell is fucking these guys up butt naked in a shower.
And we have it on Blu-ray, so we'd be able to tell if there was some...
Believe me, we're looking, because I just can't help it. Like, wife and I are like, does he... Because unlike, in Terminator on Blu-ray, you see some Arnold's hanging dong.
Oh, yeah.
But, man...
Terminator 1, yeah.
Yeah. But you don't see that any of that shit in here, and he's full-on fighting these guys, which, I mean, has its own, like, atmosphere to it, like... Everyone has the fear of, like, some bad shit going down when you're in the shower.
Yeah.
Like, getting stabbed in the shower. Horrible. But, like, imagine if four dudes are attacking you while you're taking a shower. Horrifying.
Yeah, slipping. There ain't no...
And that's... I'm amazed. Amazed in 1988 that they got away with showing as much as they did. Like, the stabbing in the back is pretty good. And especially, like, the...
Cut on the face.
Oh. The cut on the face is fucking brutal.
Yeah, it's real good.
It is... Oh, shit. Every time.
Yeah, I love stuff like that. We talked about it on the live stream on the 3B Video YouTube channel when we covered Blood Rage, when he slices that girl's face at the pool. Like, I love seeing a fucking cut happen on camera, like... There's nothing that'll make you go,
like Green
faster.
Room. Green Room.
Yeah. Green Room fucking rules.
That's my entire review of Green Room is that, the cutting of that dude while he's unconscious. Ugh.
Oh, yeah. Like, how do we know he won't get back up?
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, he ain't going to get back up. So fucking gnarly.
It is. Goddamn. Even in 2022 of recording this, that's still like pretty intense. Like, recut that shit and take the music out, you could totally fake that on a Faces of Death video.
Oh yeah,
like this is an actual prison riot. Just put the like time code of like a security camera in the corner of the screen. People believe that shit.
Run it through VHS like two or three times, so it's like a third generation VHS.
Absolutely, people would totally believe it. It's that,
like, Jesus Christ.
It's that. Like, graphic, like they're showing it but not showing so much, but it's a work of art, truly.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, the 80s, the best fucking time ever.
That's yeah, regardless of what Tarantino wants to say about it, that's topical.
I still am upset about that, and I love me some Tarantino, but for him to say that the 80s were like a drought and no good films were the 80s, I'm like, you're wrong.
I think that's just generational talking. Like, it'd be the same as if I was today going, man, the 2010s, I don't think they really produced much of anything.
Not a lot of good stuff. Yeah, I guess that's true. We will fast be those
forward,
people.
Yeah, fast forward like 30 years from now, someone finds this podcast and is doing like, well, those guys are fucking dead wrong.
You guys are way off.
Ghost Ship was incredible.
It was a classic. Yeah.
Yeah, I have it on 12K ultra super definition now, streaming through my eyeglasses. Because we brought Google Glass back.
Yeah, that's a thing. That's probably going to happen. Son of a bitch. We'll be the old grumpy guys. I'm fine
already
with
there.
It. Yeah, I'm fine with it. Speaking of grumpy people, is it time to move on to the next segment, Evil?
I mean, if we're already on the hate train, might as well keep it on going with them Amazon one-star reviews.
Hated it.
We've run into this problem occasionally on the live shows when we pick semi-obscure films that there's slim pickings. Apparently the case here. Although this is also a 4.5 star rated movie.
You goddamn right it is.
So it maybe just because not many people dislike it. But we found a few, like Johnny Smith, June 9th, 2016, 1 star. The stream sound is way off, needs to be fixed.
John Smith, real original.
That guy's in a lot of movies.
That's fucking Alan Smithy or whatever.
The actor's version of Alan Smithy.
Yep.
Next is R. Grove, August 26, 2012. 1 star, silly, campy, and not very entertaining. This is totally silly movie played with all the seriousness of a 60s Batman episode. I don't think you could be further off.
Yeah, you're pretty way off.
I can't imagine if that's how the Joker was made in 66 with that fucking mustache still on, like he's getting his fucking smiling face from a shiv and a shower.
Every time Cordell throws someone, it's like, zowie!
I'm going the other way. I'm like, Adam West is just carving up the fucking Riddler in the shower. riddle me this, Riddler.
That was a really good Adam West.
A lot of practice listening to Hollywood Cordell. Babylon. Oh, Cordell. We gotta kill Matt Cordell. You let him leave alive. But R. Grove goes on to say, if you want a dumb, campy story that's more laughable than scary, then you might enjoy this. I wouldn't bother watching it again.
You're gonna dig this.
Yes, we will.
I will say, while I'm thinking of it, the one thing that is silly to me and always has been is the dude who gets killed by his face stuffed in wet cement.
Yeah, it's real good.
That it's good, but the one
he'd have to hold him there for like fucking 8 hours.
Right. Like switching hands, like this one's getting tired. And go back to this one. Maybe I try my foot for a little while.
People walking by, what are you doing? I'm just,
mind your business, son.
Our job's just to make sure there's plenty of guys shoved in this wet concrete.
These guys come back and forth with a big plate glass window every couple of minutes.
You got to wonder if that's going to pay off in the end.
But it ain't even that. It's the shot that they go back to like 4 times of
his
him from behind.
Dusty.
Yeah, where he's running with the bloody handcuffs on. It just looks silly to me because he has this weird run with it. And I wonder if they
Steven Seagal-esque run.
Yeah, and I kind of wonder if they put that in just to extend the runtime by a couple minutes. Like, just throw that fucking guy in running down the street in bloody cuffs.
Extend the runtime. Hey-o.
You know what? That is something very Larry Cohen-esque. Like, we want to extend the runtime. Put that scene in 3 times more.
Show that guy running. Yeah, a bunch.
Now flip it and do it again.
Yeah. It's the other side of the street now.
And yeah, he would have had to, like, that concrete looks like that shit has set for a week.
Yeah.
Anyone
I
who's
love
done
that
any...
the dummy's wig is all fucking gray.
It's just super gray. Like fucking that goddamn Ebenezer Scrooge got killed over here.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's probably the silliest point in the movie.
Speaking of silly, we got a few more here. We got JM, March 10th, 2016, 1 star, thumbs down.
That'd be Genius McGee.
I wonder if that's... No, that sounds like... I read that and I was like, I totally thought of Batista when he betrayed Triple H, just thumbs down. And then it became his signature for his finishing move for a while, is the old thumbs down. This one I can get behind. Dan, February 20th, 2016. He says one star because it didn't work.
Well, yeah.
And he goes on to say, because it didn't work. I wonder what didn't. Did he buy the disc? Streaming? Because there's a few streaming issues, apparently, with people buying this movie or renting it. But I don't know. Dan left me in the lurch.
You got to own it, man.
And to wrap up, here I feel has to be somebody, I want to say younger, but definitely not of our mindsets, because this is the opposite of you. I don't even know how you would say it says his name is Real Valancourt, but there's like that little mark over the E, so Real Valancourt?
Vicky Valancourt.
I kind of, that sounds super aristocratic. Real Valancourt, December 8th, 2013. One star, send it to me. No, wait. Cannot rate it, even though he just did. Cannot rate it because I can't watch 2 and 3, did not received Maniac Cop. I received 2 and 3, but not 1. How can I start the trilogy when I already have the ending of the trilogy?
Yes, I'm with you.
So this guy has your who had the worst day? It's Batman or the Joker, Real or Roger? Because both of them like didn't start with the first movie. Roger just said, "Fuck it, I'm gonna watch 3 and then go 1 and 2 or 2 and 1."
I do have a little story of when I purchased my Blu-rays of the Maniac Cop trilogy.
Yes.
It was when I had my knee surgery.
Oh, damn. So, really?
So I had ordered them like 2 or 3 days before my knee surgery. They arrived the day I had my knee surgery. Mm. I come home. I am on every painkiller known to man. And
feels like Freddy's nightmares at the time.
Life is weird. And so my wife had a big photo shoot she had to leave town for. So my mom was like, I'll hang out. I'll stay the weekend. I will help take care of the kids and I'll, you know, help Dustin with whatever he needs. And so she would put a movie in for me. I'd be like, can you put in Maniac Cop? So she put in. So my mom is like hanging out at the house with me, forced to watch all this fucking shit that I watched. And I did a Maniac Cop marathon 1, 2, and 3, but I was so fucking high on pain pills that I would like zone out, pass out, wake up. Maniac Cop 1 would be like over, so I'd start it again. So I fucking drove my mom insane because it was like a course of 2 days where it took me 2 days to watch all 3 Maniac Cop movies because I was so fucked up.
She watched each one 6 times.
And she's like, God fucking damn it.
What'd you got to do this weekend? Watch Maniac Cop over and over and over again. Yeah.
Maniac Cop, The Gate, and Society.
Jesus Christ. The fact that your mom still takes your calls.
Yeah, you want to watch The Shunting 48 times this week?
That, man. If we were ever to do another 12-hour live show, let's make it torturous like that. Like, we're going to watch Society 7 times.
I love that movie, though. Goes.
It's good, but any movie you watch that many times over in one sitting, I don't know.
Start twitching.
The commentary for that film will be very different on viewing 7 than on viewing 2.
Yeah, that would be hilarious. Fucking 8 hours of commentary, the same movie over and over again.
Yeah.
Here's our first commentary. Here's our second commentary.
We'll do that on the live stream where it's going to cover one movie for a month straight, just over and over and over again. Yeah. And we'll make it difficult. Yeah, not me make it a popular movie. Make it something really kind of obscure so all of our
Fly Away Home.
We're going to do Fly Away Home 4 times.
Oh, I'd kill myself. Well, so you're done with the Amazon one-star reviews?
That's the very last one. I love that the guy was pissed he received two. He ordered the trilogy blind, which kudos for a gentleman doing that, but pissed and decided to rate the first movie 1 star because he didn't get it. Said he wouldn't rate the movie 1 star, even though he just did.
Yep.
I wonder if he went on to do Maniac Cop 2 and 3 and rate them 1 star because he didn't have the first movie and had these two instead. He doesn't have the full story.
That motherfucker, yeah. Well, I mean, 2 does a good enough job of recapping it for you. That's a previously on Maniac Cop at the beginning of that movie.
It is, and then if you missed the previously of the beginning of it, they'll do that shit again midway through the movie.
Oh, yeah, just so you know.
In case you got up, got a beer, came back, and you Tom Atkins this thing, oh, we'll get you up to speed in case you zoned out for a few minutes of Maniac Cop 2.
Would you like to see him get killed in the shower again?
Maybe they knew you would watch this movie pilled up on surgery, post-surgery, and they're like, we got to just reiterate the story again so he's on board. He may have forgotten what happens.
That is a fever dream. When they just fucking keep playing the same scene over and over again throughout all three fucking
movies. What am I watching? Maniac Cop 2 or 3?
I don't even
know anymore.
The same
scenes. It's not the same log, Mike, but that's the same judge.
I kicked that fucking map in the creek.
You kicked that nightstick with the blade on it?
Yeah. Well, now that we're done with the Amazon 1-star reviews, Evil, what does that mean?
Grab your bottle of water, put on your wrestling boots. Time to head down to the ring and shoot. It's time to play the game.
Time to play the game.
It's all about the game, and how you play it. And so this year's St. Patrick's Day Parade continues on schedule, despite speculation the parade may have been canceled due to fear of violence. Authorities report scores of deaths, threats against the police, plus threats of bombings along the parade route. And this is not to deter the record crowd turning out for this year's New York St. Patrick's Day Parade. And what a parade it is!
Excellent. Thank you, Lemmy. We didn't talk about it in the first hour, but real quick, I did want to go back and say I have heard rumblings, heard tale, that there is officially greenlit Maniac Cop remake with Bill Lustig.
I've heard that for a couple of years.
John Bernthal.
Oh, as the Maniac Cop?
As Cordell, yeah. That's what I've heard.
Man.
So I need to look into a little bit more, but...
Unrelated sidebar to that sidebar, we've been recently playing Ghost Recon Wildlands out of the blue and enjoying that. I was done some of the side missions. John Bernthal shows up in that game.
He's a voice in the game?
He is a character in the game. Like, you see, like, that's John Bernthal, and that is John Bernthal's voice. Nice. John Bernthal is a slightly almost off his edge... Like Merc.
Nice.
And it's fantastic. I'm like, oh, shit. I hate that I played this without Raj. Now I need to redo it. So you're like, holy shit, John Bernthal. Babe, come look. John Bernthal's in a game.
I'm going to kill him.
No. And I think he's in the next one, whatever the Breakpoint, I think, is the follow-up Ghost Recon game. So more John Bernthal.
Nice.
I'll go with that, though. He could do it. I could see his face all fucked up. He looks like...
Oh, yeah.
He could literally just be playing his character from The Walking Dead. Like, yeah. That's the Maniac Cop. Yeah.
Aggressive forehead rubbing.
He did, yeah.
Well, now that we're done with all that other stuff, it is time to play the game. And if you're new here, welcome. You're probably scratching your head asking yourself, what is the game? Well, the game is a deep cut in and of itself where you got to pick a prop from the movie that we are covering, but it can't be a well-known prop. So since we're covering Maniac Cop, you can't say you want his hat, you can't say you want his badge, and you damn sure can't say you want his knife stick rigamaroo. Those are all low-hanging fruit. And as Evil likes to say, you got to go deep or...
Get shot first and ask a question later.
Like all the finest police do.
Yeah.
There's a thin blue line, Evil. I don't know if you know this. There's a thin blue line.
Yeah, and it's a code blue.
Is that the opening credits to Dr. Giggles?
Could have been. I was just recreating the coroner, bringing Cordell back to life because he had the heartbeat of, what, a beat every 28 seconds? Which, total real. Sidebar even to that, I did not hear that heartbeat on my original VHS copy. When I got the DVD and Blu-ray, I could hear it more clearly. But it was so kind of drowned out with the ominous tones playing in the background of that scene. Could not hear the heartbeat thing. So he was just doing that shit to nothing the first several years of me knowing Maniac Cop.
And you also got the soft, soothing drone of a VCR playing a tape.
That, but also I just like this, like, corpse with a bloody ass, like, sheet over it. And I like even the sound design on the DVD. You can hear the click when he puts the stethoscope on the corpse.
Ugh.
Like,
gross.
Doom.
Sidebar.
Motherfucker breathing.
He alive. We alive.
Which you couldn't tell by, you couldn't see like the sheet moving like he's breathing, but apparently he had a heartbeat. So he's not breathing, but has a heartbeat. Brain damage.
Very soft heartbeat. Going back to the soothing sounds of a VCR, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but I had the VCR hooked up in the front room, you know, when we were working on the movie.
Yes.
We had it all set to look like old school. I would watch movies on the VCR. And my son was like, "What is that noise? You hear that?" I'm like, "What?"
"No, you're nothing."
"It's like a high pitch and then like a hum." I'm like, "Oh, that's the VCR." He's like, "Do they all do that?" And I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "I hate that."
Newsflash, asshole. I've been hearing it the entire goddamn time. Why wouldn't you say anything? Because I hate you.
That's just how we used to get down. Just drown that out. That's background noise.
Doesn't even register to me. Like, I have the VCR in the basement put on. I don't think I've ever, except maybe on certain tapes where it kind of has that slow, like, yeah, like, oh shit, is this going to kill? Is this the death nail for the tape and or the player?
Yep, it's coming.
We know that particular sound.
You hit eject quick.
Oh shit, it's going to eat it.
Yeah, that's the fastest reflexes.
It's all in them reflexes too. But yeah, we know the sound of shit going south on a VCR.
Yeah,
we gotta save the tape. It's our only one. It's probably not even ours either.
Yep. And if you know you always had Scotch tape right next to them in case you had to double that shit up. But
I've had that surgery moment. Like, I literally one time had busted a tape and had a blank tape and had to take
spool
the two.
Swap?
Yeah, take it apart, and like I felt like I was in a fucking heart surgery, like taking the reels out, setting it in ever so gently.
Dude, yeah, it's like
reattaching,
speed.
Like, yeah, like, nurse, dead my forehead.
Diffusing a bomb. Yeah,
like I'm going to cut the red wire, okay? You said blue. Did I say blue? I meant red.
But I think I'll go first this week.
Go ahead, because I was honestly torn between two items.
I have one, but anyone who's listening, make sure you find us on Discord, find us on our Patreon, find us YouTube, everywhere. Find us, let us know your prop.
Pay us money.
Hook it up.
Please.
And also start a podcast with anchor.fm. It's so easy, you could do it, or something.
It's so easy, we did do it, and I don't know shit.
We're still doing it.
Anchor does all the work for us. We love you.
It does. So my prop.
Yes.
There's so many weird things in this movie, but I, you know, in my disclaimer, I shot myself in the foot because I was like, man, I really want that fucking nightstick. Like,
exact same thing. Everything I fucking wanted is on his suit. So I had the exact same problem.
So if I'm going to pick anything, I'm going to pick the prison shiv that is used to kill him, that they drop next to him, which, by the way, that's clearly a real sharp object. They like, drop it, and it, like, bounces and lands on him. And I'm like, I'm guaranteed that cut him. And he's like,
probably.
Got it'd have been more accurate if it was being in that shower.
I can't remember what I was watching. Something about, like, inside real prisons. Like, one of the things that's commonly used for a shiv is, like, a toothpaste. Like, the container of toothpaste. Like, how the... Hell, you know, like on some toothpaste like containers, the back end of that plastic can kind of get sharp.
Yeah.
Those hard edge, like they just they fold it certain ways and then just kind of reinforce it. But using, yeah, a fucking toothpaste holder as a makeshift shiv, like that's some shit they would use.
Sometimes you gotta stab a motherfucker. I don't know.
Stab. Like, that would be depressing, though. It was like Matt Cordell taken down by Colgate.
It ain't even Colgate. It's government issue fucking.
It's Curlgate, you know, just one letter difference.
Yeah, it's fucking great value white toothpaste.
Always save Colgate.
Yeah.
Comes in a yellow tube.
Gross.
That's not bad. I thought at one point about the shiv as well.
That's about all I could really come up with, man, because I want so much of Cordell's fucking utility belt.
Yeah, and we get a lot of that in both the first two movies, at least, of him swinging that billy club that's a knife at the same time. Like, and he just does it so cool. That, yeah, that around the hand.
Fucking love that.
Such good shit. But I was torn between two very different things. My first impulse, when I thought of what I would pick, I'd want that judge's gavel.
Nice.
Just because that is one of the images that just sticks in my head. Mm-hmm. When you're like Maniac Cop, like what's like? Don't think of anything terrifying. Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. You're like Maniac Cop, like that judge with the gavel.
Yep.
So I either would want that, or I would take just because the symbolicness of the swerve, and because it's not anything that's out of his repertoire in every movie. I would take Tom Atkins' beer mug that he's drinking with when he's going to do his... You don't even smile. And he tries to smile. And there's nothing more kind of unnerving to me than seeing Tom Atkins try to smile.
Like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator 2.
Like, that at least can look kind of funny. Like,
yeah.
I just stop doing that. That would be...
Stop it.
Stop that.
You gotta stop it.
He does not have a face for laughing and smiling. That might be
a hell of a thing to say about somebody.
Okay, do it right now. Can you picture Tom Atkins smiling and laughing? Can you picture Tom Atkins at a comedy show?
No, I can't. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
That might be its own horror movie. Like, we're gonna cast Tom Atkins, and what's he gonna do? He's gonna be the smiler. He's just going to be laughing too. And smiling all the time. What's his weapon? He doesn't need anything. Just look at him. That'll terrify you to death.
Yep.
Like, he just has a face that's made to look stoic or pissed. That's mm-hmm. it. He has two facial expressions, and that's it. And most of those are the same one.
Yeah.
But him attempting to smile in that bar, it's like, stop doing that.
Kincaid, stop. That's very unnerving.
Exactly. Exactly what it is. So I'm torn between the beer mug and the gavel, but one of those two I would definitely love to have.
Those are both solid picks.
Thank you. I was up against the wall, and Matt Cordell was banging the shit out of the back of me. That sounds terrible.
Whoa. I was up against the wall getting shivved.
And I was like, damn, everything I want is on Cordell's fucking suit. That's against the rules. What else do I take?
Can I have Laureen Landon?
You know what? I'd still take Laureen Landon.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Met her a few years ago. Yeah, super, super cool. Had her sign both my Maniac Cops. She was just a treat to sit next to and chat with. And there's your further proof that Robert Zadar was an awesome guy, because she's still pretty fucked up that he's not around anymore. Like, you bring it up and she kind of gets emotional about it. So it's,
yeah,
that's the power of the Zadar.
He was a stud, man. And we'll get to talk about him for two more movies, so I'm excited. Definitely.
Oh, yes. We're going to get sillier.
Yeah, next oh, definitely. Week. Yeah, they, I mean, they maintain their integrity, but they get a little more silly. So
I'm just glad they didn't do what is done in the song, because it fell victim to the, well, we got to have a rap song to end the movie. I'm just glad we did not end up with Matt Cordell in a jacuzzi with an Uzi.
On that note, I suppose we should probably get going, because after all, there's a lot of movies out there, and somebody's got to watch them. So why not us, right?
He'll kill again. He enjoys killing.